Good morning, Southgate. Merry Christmas. It's good to be here today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 18. This Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and Thursday at 4 p.m., we're going to host our candlelight services. And I'm not certain, because I'm kind of the new guy around here, but I'm not certain how you folks have a tendency to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ and how those services go. But I'll say this. That Derek and our worship team and all those involved have put together an incredible service that you will not want to miss. In fact, I want to encourage you to leave today. We don't have very many left, but on your way out of services this morning, grab invitations if you would, and go around and to your neighbors, your friends, and your coworkers, and ask them if they would be your guest this week. Because I believe that when people are under the sound of the Word of God, it changes everything. And this past week, I felt like I had been in the office for a little too long and just seemed like I had a week of meetings after meetings after meetings. And so I grabbed a handful of those invitations and went over to all the apartment buildings by the church and went and got all the apartments. And I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you that because a few minutes later, after I got back, the church got a phone call and someone called the church. And so if you're watching today, person that lives in the apartment buildings, she called and said, "Hey, I think someone was trying to break into my house." And and the lady downstairs thought we were just trying to invite you to hear about Jesus. And so that was kind of funny, but so don't try to, break in anyone's house or, case the place, right? But anyways, do your best. Let's pray that God would fill his house with as many people as we can get in here in terms of the COVID guidelines so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe this message today will help us to consider the responsibility that you and I have as followers of Jesus Christ and the responsibility and the potential really that we have to really change the world in which we live. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, and they were praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, Father in heaven, I know that this story, for many that are sitting in this room today and many that are watching online, I know for many that this story is just very commonplace to us. But Lord, there was nothing common about what happened when you came to redeem us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would meet with us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would transform us. And I pray that our hearts would be moved to worship. And God, that in a moment of worship, as we leave here today, that we would be motivated, as Paul said, that the love of Christ constrains me. Lord, that we'd be pressed down on every side, that we'd be compelled to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and bring them in. To bring those that are far from God, those without hope, those that need to hear about the good news of great joy that these shepherds heard over 2,000 years ago. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now in the verses that we read this morning, we see the message of the gospel proclaimed to the shepherds, and it's a proclamation of hope, and it was a proclamation of hope that they specifically needed. Now the shepherds found peace and they found purpose, if you will, in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. They found peace. They found something that they needed in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Shepherds, for the most part, if you know anything about them, and I'll talk about this a little bit later in the message, but they were primarily known as outcasts in that social circle. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever felt like an outcast? I mean, have you ever felt like you're at a dead end? Maybe that you don't belong? Well, I want to tell you this morning, for these shepherds, and for you, and for those that might feel like an outcast, or for those that you might feel like you're at a dead end, for those of you that might feel like you don't fit in, I want to tell you this morning, the proclamation of Jesus Christ is for you, and it's what you need to hear. You might know some folks that run in your circles. You might have people that you work with. You might have a neighbor, a friend, a family member. There might be someone that needs to hear this season the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand this morning, and I think we find this truth and this principle in the Word of God today, and this is what we want to focus our thoughts on, and that is this: a simple proclamation can change everything for someone who thinks they're on the outside. A simple proclamation can change everything for someone who thinks they're on the outside. Now, in these days, I want to be honest, it's not hard to lose hope, right? Amen? I mean, it's not hard to not have hope. In fact, many are struggling to believe that things are ever going to get better. There are those who feel that way. Unfortunately, this week, in one of our junior high schools in the area, there was a young man that took his life. And I mean, we're living in a day and age where our young people have lost their hope. We're living in a day and age where moms and dads have lost their hope. We're living in a day and age where singles and college students are losing their hope. And many are just struggling. Man, is life ever going to be better? Many are fatigued, and I understand that. But I want you to know, and I want to call us, as followers of Jesus Christ, to live at another level. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, that while we may be fatigued, God has called us to live a life of faith. And this morning, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we live as lights in a dark world to proclaim the message of hope to those who need to hear it most. I've had times in my life when hope seemed to fade. I imagine that some of you feel that today. Man, I wonder if my life's ever going to get better. I wonder if my marriage is ever going to survive. I wonder if I'm ever going to get out of this financial hole that I find myself in. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're looking at your life and you're just asking. You're just wondering to God, man, is my life ever going to be good again? Are things ever going to be better? There may be some of you this morning that feel like you're on the outside looking in. Maybe you certainly identify with the shepherds this morning where you feel like an outcast, a pariah, someone of a lower social circle. You feel like an outcast maybe because of your past. There are some of you that are sitting in this room this morning that have made just an incredible mess of your life. Maybe because of the choices that you've made. Maybe some things have happened to you that you just, you know, you were a victim in some way or another and you just carry that shame and that guilt. Maybe you feel like an outcast because of the position that you're in. Friends, I want you to know this morning, and I want you to leave here with the assurance that God wants you to know that you're invited to experience the hope that He offers in Jesus Christ. It's His hope, and it's His Son, and it's His message. And listen, it's for every one of us this morning. Tim Keller, in his book Hidden Christmas, said, "Christmas and the Incarnation mean that God went to infinite lengths to make Himself one who we can personally know." And I want to tell you this morning, the moment that you accept the invitation to know and follow Jesus, everything changes. Hope arises. Now, Luke shares with us a story of some men who were outsiders, shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were considered ignorant. Anybody, a child could have done the job of a shepherd. These men needed to hear about hope because they were considered outcasts. These men were considered nobodies. But Jesus wanted them to know. And Jesus wants you to know that you are loved. Jesus wanted these men to know that they were loved. He wanted them to know that there was hope. He wanted them to know that there was a better way. He wanted them to know that there was peace and purpose offered to those who would follow him. And once they heard, they wanted to see for themselves. I always tease, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, in young people, you should always follow the laws of the land in terms of driving in a car. Don't ever go over the speed limit. But there have been a few times where I'd be driving and on my way to an appointment, and my wife would say to me, "You're speeding." And I'd say to her, "Baby, the Lord's work requires haste." And you find that biblically in this passage this morning, that when they heard the proclamation of the gospel, they made haste. They made haste. There was this sense of urgency that this could not wait. Once they heard, they wanted to see for themselves. They wanted to see Emmanuel. They wanted to worship the Prince of Peace. And when they did, again, it changed everything. And they went from lowly shepherds to dealers of hope. Can I get a witness? Amen? They went from lowly shepherds to dealers of hope. It's important to note that this is the simple means by which God has chosen to spread the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. With all the technology that we have in the world today, it is the power of a life transformed, communicating their experience with Jesus, that makes all the difference in the world. The church this morning is God's plan A for reaching the world with the message of the gospel. God doesn't need celebrities. He doesn't need social media. He doesn't need Facebook, MySpace, Instagram, Pinterest. What he needs is devoted followers of Jesus Christ whose lives have been transformed by the hope of the gospel, telling their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers that Jesus saves. That, my friends, is the hope of the world. And if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's that the church doesn't need programs. The church needs committed disciples of Jesus Christ who know and love and follow Jesus and are committed to making that hope known to the ends of the earth. And I want you to know that a life that has been transformed by the hope of the gospel will be in a position to proclaim the hope that they have personally experienced. And it begins with the proclamation of a Savior. And we see that in verses 8 through 11. The Bible says there were some shepherds. And I want you to know this morning, I want you to know that he reaches to the outcasts. And I want you to know that, guess what? We were all outcasts, and he brought us in. And one thing is for sure, that these men were not among the religious or social elite. And I want you to know that their greatest need was not a promotion in this world, but the proclamation of the gospel. They didn't need a new job. They didn't need a new social standing. They needed a Savior, and his name was Jesus. To be a shepherd was to be a social outcast, yet it was to these misfits that the angel came to deliver the good news. He didn't go to the tabernacle. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the religious scholars of the day. He went to a bunch of ignorant, low-down, misfit, social outcast shepherds, and he gave them the good news and said, "Now go and tell others." To many, these men may have seemed insignificant, yet God chose to deliver the message to them first. This reminds us that the gospel is to be proclaimed to everyone. Everyone. There's not a single person on this planet that shouldn't hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And with 6,500 and so unreached people groups in the world that have no access to the gospel and have no written gospel in their native indigenous tongue, what are we going to do? Friends, we have to get after it. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you can relate to the shepherds? Have you ever felt the weight of your own sin during moments of quiet desperation? I mean, I've been there. Oh man, my past, my struggles, my failures. Have you ever felt unworthy as you've lived life with no purpose, trudging towards an inevitable end? One day I'm going to die and I'm going to go into the ground and I'm going to be forgotten. Listen, if you're living life like that with no peace and no purpose, I want you to know there's a better way. The angels came declaring the birth of Jesus, and this miracle, the miracle wasn't the angel showing up. You know what the miracle was? Emmanuel. The miracle wasn't the angels. The miracle was Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the Son of God, laying in a manger, coming to redeem and rescue and reconcile us to God. The coming of Christ was a promise that was 4,000 years in the making. That, my friends, was the miracle. It should consistently amaze us and motivate us to worship and to lift up the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. This week, I was sitting in my office thinking about many of you. So many of you are carrying burdens. Some of you are carrying regret and shame for past sin. And I want you to know that Jesus came to deliver us from sin, and he came to deliver us from shame. A Savior has come to heal, to restore, and forgive. And my friends, that's the good news of the gospel. There isn't a sin or a failure that you've experienced this year that Christ isn't willing to forgive. Amen? Whew. There is nothing that you have done in your life. There's nothing you've done this year that Christ isn't willing to forgive. We have a Savior who's come to bring us hope. And so this morning, instead of being overwhelmed by your sin, by your regret and your shame, be overwhelmed by the unending grace of God. Because in Romans 5:20, it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And grace abounded. It super abounded in the life of Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross and he paid for our sins. And he came back 3 days later, victoriously holding the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he came to redeem. Instead of being overwhelmed by your sin, be overwhelmed by his grace. Romans 8:1 says, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And this morning, many of you feel like your life is condemned. When you go in Chicago, they have many houses on the south side in the projects, and those houses would have a sign on many of them that would say condemned, meaning it is not good for use. And there is not a single person this morning who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ who has a sign on their life that says condemned, not good for use. Because the moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he makes all things new. Friends, we've been invited to receive the gift of the gospel. And the gospel was being proclaimed to a different people. And we must be reminded that the gospel is for every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. For every class of people. And so this hope, this unending hope that transforms, this simple proclamation that transforms the lives of those around us begins with an actual proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But it's also a proclamation of peace. And we see that in verses 10 through 14. The message that the angels delivered to the shepherds is a message of peace. The Jewish word in this passage, it says here, he says, and the angel said, fear not, in verse number 10, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then in verse 14, he says, listen, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The word peace in the Jewish language means much more than a truce in the battles of life. And there are some of you this morning that there are some battles going on in your life. There's a battle in your marriage. There's a battle at work. There's a battle with your kids. There's a battle politically. There's a battle pandemically. I mean, we're just surrounded by the struggles. And I want to remind you this morning that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities of this age. And so the word shalom means much more than a truth in the battles of life. It means well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness. For all you Trekkie nerds out there, it means live long and prosper. I'm just trying to reach my context because I know you guys are out there. Now, let me ask you this morning. It means well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness. Who couldn't use some of that this year? Who couldn't use some of that? Now, Christians, I'm going to step on some toes this morning. But Christians often do not act like people of or people with peace. I'm going to say that again. Christians often do not act like a people of or a people with peace. We don't act like that. I mean, just try to drive through Target. This amazes me. There's only one Target in Springfield. Blows my mind. And I mean, like, every single person that lives in Springfield right now is at Target because of the Christmas holidays. And if you want to see where our peace really is, just drive through Target parking lot. You know, and try to find a parking spot for the glory of God. Because, you know, every day is not a Friday, and it's not your best life now. You're lucky to find a spot there. But the reality is that Christians often do not act like a people of or a people with peace. And listen, because everyone, even Christians, has a stance on something. And none of it is built on the solid rock and the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And none of this has anything to do, all the things that we fight about and all the things that divide us, none of it has anything to do with the gospel and people who were lost and who need hope and who do not know Jesus Christ yet personally as their Savior. And I'm going to tell you this morning, a lost man and a lost woman or a young student, they don't need to know our positions on whatever. What they need is the hope of Jesus Christ. They don't need to know what we believe about the Republican or the Democratic Party. They don't need to know what we think about wearing or not wearing masks. They don't need to know about that. They need to know that someone loves them and that someone came to die for them, and his name is Jesus Christ. And sometimes as Christians, we get in our own way and we act like jerks and we can be incredibly obnoxious and we miss out on the opportunities to bring peace into a world that needs shalom. Let me ask you, would your life be any different with this kind of peace? What if the gift that you're supposed to give and receive this Christmas is a gift of peace? I mean, some of you are like, my kids are stoked. My daughter said to me, and I you know, as you get older, Christmas just kind of changes. You know what I mean? One of my daughters said to me last night, Daddy, I can't believe Christmas is almost here. I can't wait to open my gifts. You know? And I'm thinking, I can't wait to get the credit card bill. But what if the gift that you were supposed to give this year isn't something that's under the tree, but it's the gift of peace? Because peace is a byproduct of an experience with Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're not experiencing the peace of God in your life, I want to ask you, how come? Why are you not experiencing this kind of peace? What's standing in the way of you having peace within and peace without? Now, this morning, I want you to know that hopelessness sets in when your focus is on your circumstances and not on Jesus Christ. And some of us are missing out on the peace that God wants to offer us in this season because we're so focused on our circumstances. We're focused on everything going wrong right now in this moment. And yet, we're not focusing on Christ. And if your hope is in anything other than Jesus, it will crush you and it will disappoint you. Our only hope for peace, our only hope in this world and in this life, is found lying in a manger. His name is Jesus. Now, the message of rejoicing, the angel said, we're going to bring you good news of great joy. The angels were proclaiming and declaring the good news that Jesus had come. There was an incredible amount of joy knowing that Jesus provided peace. Peace has to do more with character rather than circumstances. Now, please know that today. Peace has more to do with character than circumstances. Your circumstances can change, but you can still be at peace. That's why James could say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Count it joy. Well, how can you find it joy when you fall into circumstances that are unbecoming? When your hope is found in a sovereign king, the king of the ages, our life shouldn't be that shaking. Yeah, maybe for a moment. Yeah, things will come sideways for a second. Maybe we might have a setback here and there. But our focus and our mind and the foundation of our faith is found on Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I want you to know, for the shepherds, life was difficult at a time, just as it is today. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping lower. The military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's heart. So God delivered peace and the gift of his son. Now, don't miss the weight of this truth. Peace comes in a person, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And whatever you think that you have to have to settle your heart, oh man, if my marriage would just get fixed, or oh man, if my finances were better, or if I could get a different job, or if I could go to this school, or if this person would be my boyfriend or my girlfriend, or if I had a new car or whatever. Listen, all of those things are fine. But if you're putting your hope in that, it's like drinking sand. And you're just going to be more thirsty for what God is already offering you. Augustine said, my heart is restless till it finds its rest in thee. In our brokenness, we pursue peace from other avenues. And Jesus provides us peace. He's the healer of what is broken. And listen, he makes all things new. But it wasn't just a message of rejoicing. It was a message of reconciliation. He says, I'm going to give you peace among men. For many, our lives are characterized by many different things, but peace is not one of them. I mentioned last week that we live with fear and angst. And this morning, we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For many here today, you may be here today, and you've never put your faith in Jesus, let me encourage you that Christ came to reconcile you to God. And our only hope this morning is knowing that we can rejoice in that we can have a relationship with Jesus, which provides forgiveness of sins, a right relationship with God, and a home in heaven. That is hope. That's real hope. That's hope that you can believe in. And there isn't anyone that's sitting in this room today, and there isn't anyone that's watching online this morning that cannot and will not be accepted by God the moment that you humble yourself and accept the free gift of salvation. And so this morning, we can have peace with God, but we can also have peace with others. This could be a season where we seek peace and reconciliation with others. For some, we have relationships in our life that need hope. I know I do. I remember several years ago, I had a dear person in my life that I loved, and our relationship went sideways for at least 3 or 4 years. But I knew that if God was involved, there was hope. I've hurt people this year. I've had my fair share of conflict. I've had some folks upset and disappointed with me. I know that's hard for you guys to believe, but I've had some folks get sideways with me. Some of it was fair, some of it wasn't. And usually I typically in my flesh complain or I criticize the person, but compassion is not my initial response. But a person who has peace as their character, a person who's experienced the peace of God that's only given to us through Jesus Christ, will step into that situation with a disposition of grace and forgiveness. Bitterness, I know this, will rot your soul. Bitterness will rot your soul. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to set you free. Don't let the desire for revenge and resentment lock you in and rob you of the peace that God has for you. I often tell people in counseling that bitterness and resentment is like a prison that you've built for yourself, and you're sitting in the middle of that prison cell, and the door is open, and you're refusing to walk out. And this morning, if you sit in that bitterness and if you live in that bitterness, it will rot your soul and those around you. One of the things that I hate about sin is the damage that it does to those that I love the most. But when Jesus is a part of the discussion, we always have hope and there's always a path forward. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if possible, so as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are a reconciled people so that we can seek reconciliation with those that have hurt us, those who have wronged us. And I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And I just want to ask you this morning, if there's someone that you need to extend peace to in this season, how could you withhold the very thing from which God gave you freely? How could we withhold from others what God so freely gave to us? The last thing that I want us to note this morning, and we see it in verses 15 through 18, and that is this, it's a proclamation that is to be shared. It's a proclamation to be shared. The world is impressed with royalty and social status. It's amazing to me how many young people find social influencers to be that of celebrity. It's amazing to me what it takes to be popular in our day and age, you know? It's just amazing to me. And yet our world is impressed with that. They're impressed if you can throw a ball. They're impressed if you can do something special that people would pay money to see. But God, in his economy, he finds a bunch of rejects and he uses them to change the world. He finds a bunch of nobodies and he uses those kind of people to change the world. And you might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking, man, God could never use me. You don't know my past. You don't know my shame. You don't know my situation. You don't know my circumstances. I don't know, but God does. And I know that God uses broken people to reach and help broken people. These men, they came to see a miracle. They came to see Jesus. It was an act of obedience. It was an act of worship. And it changed and transformed them because they immediately went to the city. And then from there, they left and they shared the proclamation of the gospel. Now, when you receive good news, when you receive good news, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to share it. I remember when we were going to have our first child, Ellie, and I remember, there's a season that you're supposed to wait just to make sure that nothing goes wrong with the pregnancy, and you're just kind of waiting it out so that you can tell your family and you can tell your friends and you can celebrate the good news. I love Christmas time because I like giving gifts, but the problem with that is I'm not good at keeping my gifts a secret. I'm not. I'm the worst. In fact, my wife says, and I don't know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord if she's telling the truth, but to this day, I don't know. But she told me the day that we got engaged, she says, I knew you were going to engage me. I went to my dorm room and I wrote on a piece of paper, Jason's going to engage me today. And then she signed it. Now, I haven't seen that paper, but she says it exists. And then one year I bought her for Christmas and I thought I had her good. I went out, Ellie went with me, and I picked out Mom a brand new pair of diamond earrings. I hid them in my closet. I went, you know, to the jeweler on a day that she wasn't going to be around, and I hid those diamond earrings. And for years, I thought that year, I surprised, because she's like, oh my gosh, this is such a wonderful gift. And she was just so thrilled to get this gift. Come to find out, a year or so later, she goes, I knew about them diamond earrings the whole time. I said, how'd you know? You didn't know. You didn't know till the day you got them. I'm going to pray for you for lying to me right now. I said that to her. And she says, well, I had went into your closet to look for something, and I went into your shoeboxes looking for stuff, and I found those rings, and I thought to myself, well, who did he get those for? Who do you think I got them for? But I love giving gifts because it's good news. It's exciting. And there's no greater gift than Jesus Christ. There's no greater news that he came to save, and we should be excited about the gift that came wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger to redeem us and rescue us from ourselves. Now, friends, someone said it this way, the angels have never experienced the grace of God, so they can't bear witness as we can. Telling others about the Savior is a solemn obligation as well as a great privilege, and we who are believers must be faithful. The angels can proclaim the glory of God, but they've never experienced the grace that we've experienced from God. And we not only get the privilege, but the opportunity to share the sweetness of the gospel to those that are far from God. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty amazing. You see, the people of God are a called people. We're people that are sent. And when you follow Christ, and I keep saying this over and over again because I want it to land in your hearts, the moment that you were saved, you were simultaneously called into the mission of God. And we have a calling. We have a calling as individuals. We have a calling as disciples. We have a calling as followers of Jesus Christ. We have a calling as Southgate Church. We have a calling to proclaim the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. And this morning, these men found hope in the proclamation, and it changed them. This news was so important that they stopped what they were doing and they worshiped. I mean, here are these guys hanging out on the backside of the desert, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, an angel shows up. Now, I don't know about you, but that would freak me out. And all of a sudden, an angel just appears to them, and he scares the living daylights out of them, and the first words out of his mouth are, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy." They hear this news, and they leave everything that they're doing, and they go, and they worship the one who is going to reconcile them to God. And upon leaving that moment and that season of worship, they went out to tell others and proclaim to them the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, Southgate, I want to ask you this morning, as we think about this in our own lives, you know, many of us, we're not doing that. We're not sharing the gospel. And this morning, we're called to be dealers of hope. We're called to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has come to rescue us and others from sin and from shame. And yet, we're not doing this. We're not doing this because we have unresolved issues with others. Some of you sitting in this room today, you need to give the gift of peace this Christmas season. You need to step and forgive some folks. You need to make right some things with relationships in your life. We aren't doing this because we're too busy. We aren't doing this because we're indifferent to Emmanuel. We're indifferent to God with us. We hear the story. We sing the songs. We participate in the season. But it comes and it goes and it doesn't change us. But this morning, I can imagine a group of you coming to worship Jesus. I can imagine a group of you this morning hitting these altars this morning just like we did last week, because it's not a one-time thing. But I can imagine many of you hitting the altars this morning and getting a fresh vision of Jesus Christ, getting a fresh vision of his calling, a fresh vision of his peace, a fresh vision of his purpose for your life. This morning, I can imagine a church where there's love and where we as a church and we as individuals are characterized by not by our positions, but by the peace that rules our hearts and the peace that is offered to those who are far from God. I can imagine a church where there's love, a church that accepts a call to follow Jesus and proclaim the hope that extends to those who are without him. Southgate, could we be that people? Can I just ask you this morning, could we, in the busyness of this season, could we be a people that are obedient to God? Could you be someone that's obedient to God? And I want to tell you this morning, there 7 out of 10 have never been invited to church their entire lives, statistically across the board in the United States. Numbers don't lie, right? Facts are our friends. 7 out of 10 people. That means that you go to Target today, if you do, and you want to, you know, conquer the beast of Target during the holidays, you're gonna encounter scores of people. And 7 out of 10, so 70% of the people that you run into to Target, no one. And we're not talking about the Middle East. Well, we're not talking about Uzbekistan. We're not talking Ethiopia. We're talking the United States of America. 7 out of 10 people have never been invited to a church service. But here's the crazy one. 82% of church people, 82% of unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if someone invited them. I don't know about you, that's a pretty good success rate. If I went to see a doctor and he says, hey, you're not doing so well, what are my chances? 82%, I'm okay with that, right? I mean, if I you got a baseball player and he hits 80% of the balls that are thrown at him, that's a good percentage, right? You got a basketball player, he shoots 80% of his shots and they all go, or 80% of his shots goes in, that's good, right? So as followers of Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but we're already on the winning team. And God has called us to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And I want to ask you this morning, what would happen if we experienced Jesus in a way and we went out proclaiming hope? I mean, what would happen? I mean, literally, what would happen if we as a church began to take seriously the coming of Christ and the calling of Christ on our lives? Well, I know what would happen. This building would be so packed full. There'd be 100 people here a year from now that weren't in church a year as of today that were far from God, whose lives have been transformed if we just be obedient to the call. We don't need programs. We don't need all the stuff that this world says that we need. We just need obedience. And this morning, I want to ask you to come and just come to the altar on the first note. Maybe even when I start praying, just come and worship Jesus and ask him to be fresh and new in your life. And when you leave this altar and you get up, you leave like the shepherds with haste to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I need some peace in my life this holiday season. There is a person or persons in my life that I need to reconcile with in this season. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Anyone at all? I need some peace. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else? The gift that I need to give this season is the gift of peace. Is there anyone that's like that? Maybe it's some teenagers. Yes, young man, I see your hand in the back. Maybe there's some teenagers. I've been acting out towards my parents, and I need to give the gift of peace. Anyone like that? Maybe some spouses today. My wife and I, we're just struggling right now. We're not. Our home is anything but peace. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Now, how many of you say to me this morning, I want to be a proclaimer. I want to be a dealer of hope. I want to be a part of what God is doing at Southgate. Would you lift your hand and let me just pray? Let's all pray and commit to this today. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. And I want you to hit this altar. And maybe God has already laid someone on your heart. And if he hasn't, pray that God will put someone in your path this week. And when he does, that you'll have the eyes to see their need for the hope that's been proclaimed. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for Jesus. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you. We have to come and love on you, to be with you, to be in your presence. Lord, you're here right now in this moment, and not in some ethereal way, but Lord, in a real, significant, tangible way. And Lord, if we can't sense that, maybe there's something wrong in our lives. Maybe there's something wrong in our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning that we as a church and that we as individuals and families and moms and dads and husbands and wives would get a fresh glimpse of your glory. A fresh glimpse of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, today that you'd stir our hearts to see that 7 out of 10 people have never even been invited to a church service, much less have ever even heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They've heard maybe some religious thing, but they've never heard about what it means to have a relationship with you and what it meant for you to come and rescue us from our sin. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to